We are in the book of Hebrews this morning, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I spared y'all the whole chapter. I said stop at verse 3 before I put everybody to sleep with the rest of the chapter. You can read the rest of it later after you get home from church there. The book of Hebrews is one of my favorite books of the Bible. It sort of is a book of assurance and warning, so we don't take our faith for granted. Now, you know, in the book of First Corinthians, in the love chapter, chapter 13, you know, one of the last phrases is that there's three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. Of course, it says the greatest of these is love. But I think of it as sort of a chain effect. Faith requires hope, and hope requires love. But the first is faith, of course. And faith is a word which is almost overused and abused, but a noun of comfort to most people. Sometimes faith can be manipulated into almost a Ouija board or a good luck charm, and thinking of God as a genie in a bottle. That is pure superstition. According to the book of Hebrews, faith has an important ingredient, and that falls with the second part of the faith, hope, and love, which is hope. Frequently we pray for our heart's desire, but then wish for the best with our fingers or even eyes crossed. Now, we have to be honest about that. We do. We pray about it and then hold breath abated about that. You know, remember the Disney film Pinocchio, where Jiminy Cricket sings "When You Wish Upon a Star"? Well, it tells us that everyone needs hope in their lives, because without hope, despair will take over like mildew on a damp bathroom wall. While working at the Presbyterian Homes as chaplain, I see it vividly a lot of times daily, where people have had hope taken away from them, and they end up just wilting and end up dying suddenly, because without hope, you just don't prosper, you don't blossom, you don't flourish. So we have to require to have hope. Now you say, how do you get it? Well, you know what? Hope can come in many ways. It can come even in the smallest proportions. So a lot of times we think we have to have something great or gigantic to have. No, you can look for hope in the smallest, tiniest ways of that. So everyone does need to have hope in their lives, but also we need to have faith. Faith is a motivator for the present and the future. During the forthcoming Battle of New Orleans in 1815, General Andrew Jackson was in a desperate straits, running short of soldiers and ammunition. He needed a miracle because he was facing 4,000 British soldiers, or maybe even 5, it's according to the stats there. He needed a miracle. The Ursuline sisters sent word that their convent would pray for Jackson's troops 24/7, and also for new recruits to volunteer. Not only did God answer their prayers for victory, but Jackson was joined by an assortment of different allies, Choctaw Indians and Jean Lafitte and his buccaneers. It was the strangest get-together in history, probably, but they not only provided these pirates with manpower, but gunpowder, flints, and cannons to combat the British. God did honor the Ursuline sisters' prayers with a British defeat, and Jackson's first act was to visit the convent to thank the nuns for their prayers. In fact, to this day, there is a prayer that the Ursuline sisters use in New Orleans called the Our Lady of Prompt Succor, which means they turn to the Blessed Mother in their faith and call upon her to help them out in times of need. Jackson had faith in prayer, supported with the hope that God would follow through, and God did so. Incidentally, the Ursuline sisters prayed during Hurricane Katrina that God would spare New Orleans from complete annihilation and destruction. And guess what? It was spared. We are reminded today that the children of Israel endured astounding odds for survival against their enemies through faith in God. It was only by faith that the Israelites found favor with God. Remember, it goes all the way back to Abraham. We know they tested God's patience because of the numerous incidents of disobedience. Throughout the Old Testament, you will see where leaders were given the phrase, they did evil in the sight of God. That has to do with Manasseh, all the different kings of that time. But one is Jezebel. She did evil in the eyes of the Lord. There's so many. And you wonder, they survived. There's Jewish people to this day. So evidently God loves the Jewish people from the Old Testament to the present. So we have to remember that if God preserved them, God will preserve us as well. So the ancient Israelites' existence depended ultimately on God and hope in God. The fact of the matter was that the Israelites had nowhere else to turn. Do you ever have nowhere else to turn but God? What about hospitals? Or what about anything that could seem hopeless, maybe financial distress or whatever? You may not be going through it right now, but I'm sure you may have in the past. You may be going through it in the future. But it's always comforting to know that God is there with us, that God is always there. God never leaves us. God is never absentee. Our faith seems to kick in best when we are at our lowest. Have you noticed that? We sort of take our faith for granted, and you've heard me say that a lot, many times, that we do take our faith for granted, except when we're in a crisis. Of course, now some people have a crisis an hour, but most of us, when we are in dire straits, we really have to rely upon God, because God's the only hope that we can hope to muster up there. So when the Israelites were strongest was at the moment their faith was the weakest. You think about that. I think about our country and the lowest church attendance. When we are at our strongest materialistically, we forget to come to church, or we forget to allow God to run our lives. And so we think the mighty dollar is the only hope we have. But that's not the case, because we know that it's all based upon God. But yet we seem to have selected amnesia when it comes to that. If we would only realize that disaster is lurking when our connection to God is at its greatest distance. Like any gardener, we must prune out those spiritual weeds so our faith will flourish. The choice is left up to you and no one else. Yes, you're hearing a Presbyterian saying, the choice is left up to you. You can either get close to God or go your own way, but you're taking a risk by going your own way. People who intelligently exercise their faith can see results. These results may not be thunder and lightning events. They may not be something that was astounding, but to you they're important. I used to think when people come to me and they'd have an issue or a crisis, and I thought, you know, get over it. You know what I mean? It's nothing important. But I realized something as I got a little smarter, that it is a crisis to them. Regardless, if it seems minuscule to me, or even maybe to you, but it's really important to that person, whatever it may be. And I take everybody seriously in regard to whatever it is they're going through, because I've had the same thing happen. And you know what? It's important to take people seriously with their problems. And God takes us seriously too with our problems as well. But God gives us the assurance that faith is the source for the best God has to offer. Success starts with faith. Success starts with faith. Now, in this chapter 11 that I did not read completely, it's really the chapter of the heroes of the faith. It starts out with Abel. You know what? Abel was the son of Adam and Eve, who gave the first fruits of everything to God. Of course, his brother Cain didn't, and Abel ended up being the first dead victim of in the world there. Then you had Enoch. Enoch walked with God and then he was taken out. There was Noah and Abraham, Moses. It just goes through all kinds of things. And if you even read closer, you will find that not everything was a bed of roses. A lot of people today think if you become a Christian, it's going to be just a yellow brick road and there's nothing going to happen. But we get challenged a lot of times with our faith. Am I saying they're going to line you up by the wall and have a firing squad? No, I'm not saying that. But we do get challenged. We do get challenged. And according to this chapter of faith, there were a lot of things happened to some of these people and all that. It said they were tortured. They were flogged. They were jeered. Someone even got sawed in two. They think that was Isaiah who did that. They were stoned. So it was not a pleasant thing. We have it made compared to those people in those Bible days. But we have to remember that God loves us as much as God loved those people, those faith heroes of chapter 11. Don't ever forget that, because they had their ups and downs too, even their doubts. So when you feel guilty about something, about a doubting thing, don't feel too bad, because they had their moments too. So in this chapter, we see how through faith, God allowed them to persevere through all things. And it was through faith that they attained success. It may have not been becoming millionaires, but God gave them the success in their own life. And if we dedicate our lives to God through faith, then God's going to do some wonderful and magnificent things. Years ago, Hollywood producer Jess Oppenheimer created a new television show. However, something unusual took place at the beginning of each new episode filmed. Always available, and this is Hollywood now. Let me tell you this, this is Hollywood. He had three clergy present at the studio, a Roman Catholic priest, a Jewish rabbi, and a Protestant minister. Every week, one of those clergy would pray and have a blessing prior to the filming. And guess what? It must have worked, because the plot involved a zany redhead and her Cuban husband. Anybody want to take a guess who it is? It was I Love Lucy, starring Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. And it's been going strong for 68 years in reruns and endless reruns in over 100 languages. Could it have been those blessings and prayers launched through faith which gave it this success? I believe so. So don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. Don't ever do that. Even when the odds do seem, now I'm going to use the word hopeless here instead of hope, even when the situation looks hopeless, God is still the God of hope. Don't ever forget that. God, and I like to think of this, God is holding on to us. We're not holding on to God. Because see, if we hold on to God, we're going to let go. But God will never let go of us. In the Gospel of John, it says that God will never let us out of God's grips. And I believe in that thoroughly and with all my heart. So are you struggling with your faith? Good, because it's sometimes we're all at that point when we involve ourselves in this spiritual tug of war. Only when the reality sinks in do we realize that faith is allowing God to have the green light so as to impact our lives with blessings. This may sound somewhat self-centered, but take care of your own life before you attempt to patch up everyone else's life. I have a friend, I don't know how he keeps his faith going, because he's always looking at other people and saying that they need to get their life fixed. And I told him, he called me the other night, and I said, well, hold on just a minute. I'm glad he did bring that up while I'm preparing the sermon, because it gave me a chance to sort of use this sermon to get back at him. But he said, I just don't know. And he was talking about something, some friends of his in California and how they go on their church and all that. I said, listen, what are you doing about your own faith? I said, I don't have time to look around at everybody else's faith as far as trying to patch up their faith. I'm trying to take care of my own. Now, you say, well, that sounds like the preacher doesn't care about anybody. That's not it. I just don't think that I can tell you what you need for your life unless I'm working on what I'm doing. And you will rarely ever hear me even say anything like that, because we all must do it in our relationship to God, because each of us has a unique relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so that's the most important thing that we have to do. Everything, our faith is like our fingerprints. It's uniquely created. None of us have the same fingerprints in this sanctuary. And likewise, our faith, we are at different levels. We may be, one spouse may be 100 miles ahead of the other, but that doesn't mean the one that's 100 miles behind is inferior. It's just that we go at our own pace as God would have us to do so. So don't forget this. As with the Israelites of old, it is a matter of survival. And it depends upon our faith and hope in God and love in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we think about you today, we're grateful that you pull ourselves out of the fire many times. Help us, oh God, when our faith is sort of wobbly, when our faith seems to be at the point of collapse, but we know that you are there to pick up the broken pieces. Help us, oh God, to realize that you never let us go and that we are your children always. Give us that assurance through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.